Mamma Mia, we are back for another week of Beyond the Edge here, episode number 6. Can you believe it? And 6 is the operative number because that is the exact amount of celebrities that are left here in Beyond the Edge. And here we are back to talk with the woman who is watching Beyond the Edge closer than anybody else. Please welcome, they once called her Jenny Hundredaire. Here she is. Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I thought
happy
you were going
birthday.
To... Happy birthday! It's my
happy
birthday!
Happy birthday to you, Jenny!
Yeah, it's my birthday, so this podcast better be a win. That's
not,
what everyone needs.
Actually Jenny's birthday, but we'll go birthday. With it. You think it was really Mike Singletary's birthday?
Well, I looked up Mike Singletary's birthday because I was just curious when it was. And this is a thing I do. Remember when I was trying to figure out Steven's birthday during Joe Millionaire? Like,
I think it's Fishback.
No.
Yeah.
Because
it's got to be the fall, right? Probably November.
So
big
it's
Scorpio
October 9th.
Energy. Oh, October 9th.
October 9th. Oh. He's a fellow Libra.
Yes.
So I didn't know when they filmed this. So I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that's when they filmed this. So I don't think this is one of these reality TV tropes where somebody lies and says it's their birthday when it's really not.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that this is a thing that Beyond the Edge does. So,
that Mike Singletary lied to get attention.
They're like, we need to spice this up. How can we do this? Let's make a fake birthday for Mike Singletary. Yeah. That'll do it.
I do still think that Steven might have lied about his birthday on Joe Millionaire just to like have an excuse for the girls to come over.
I mean, Rob, the point of that show was to have two men lying to women, except for the fact that apparently they don't lie to women on that show.
Not anymore. Yeah.
So I think that was possibly a fake birthday, but it was definitely Coach's birthday. It was happy 63rd birthday
to Mike Singletary. Yes.
Yeah.
Jenny, can I read you a blind item that came across my desk this week?
Oh, goodness. Yes, please.
I want to read you a piece of feedback that came in. Okay. This came to me via Twitter DM, and I won't reveal the person who sent this message, but somebody sent me a message to say, no offense to all the other RHAP pods, but the Beyond the Edge podcast may be your finest work.
Wow.
Also, please do a Worst Cooks podcast. People are very much pushing for Worst Cooks in America podcast.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw a few people clamoring for the Worst Cooks. That is high praise, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, truly just honored to be a part of it. I don't know how we got there, but I mean, this is another sentiment I saw like on Twitter. Someone said, I believe it was Will on Twitter.
Will on Twitter.
Will from T.O.
Yes.
And the tweet is T.O. me. Shuts off the TV as soon as Beyond the Edge starts after Survivor. Also me. Immediately listens to Rob Sesternino. Nino and Jenny Autumn's recaps when they appear in my feed.
Yes.
So, like, the edgers and the edgers lords
be
and edging. Ladies.
Yeah, the edge lords and ladies are out there.
They came through.
And they're loving it. They're loving Beyond the Edge. So thank you so much to our avid supporters.
Yeah.
Okay.
You are real ones.
You are real ones.
And also, this show is a real one. Don't worry, Paulina. We know.
It's a real show. Okay.
It's real. Everything's real.
Yeah. Beyond the Edge. Okay. We said that Jenny was going to need 200 ratings and reviews to feel better.
Yes.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So we got up to 144. Are you feeling better yet, Jenny?
I'm getting there. Like, I'm not completely out of the woods. I'm sure you can tell by my voice. I am definitely better. Those extra reviews have put some life back into me. But I mean, I'm still getting winded easily. My energy is not completely back to normal. So I don't know what that says.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a harrowing week here on Beyond the Edge. And Jenny, for the second week in a row, we lost another one of our celebrities as pour one out for Ebony Williams, who ends up going out back to back with the person. And, you know, we scoffed a couple of weeks ago when we saw when Morrow was talking about the bond
Got it. Yep.
Ebony and Lauren formed a lifelong bond throughout this competition.
And they go out back to back.
She couldn't do it without her.
Could not do it without her. That was her best friend.
Or her crown. She couldn't do it with either of those things.
Or her crown. Okay. Yeah. Jenny, how are you feeling about Ebony's departure from Beyond the Edge?
It was pretty drawn out.
Very drawn out.
It really, you know, it differed from Lauren's exit last week because, like, Lauren injured herself in the middle of the adventure and powered through. And it wasn't until that had the adventure was over that, you know, she had to be looked at. So it was really like the end of the show. Whereas, like, this, the beginning of the show, this episode starts off with Ebony. And I mean, we saw this coming. We talked about it.
It was never in doubt she was leaving.
Yes.
Let's let the record show. And also, let the record show also, no problem with her leaving. Okay. That she broke her, she had some dental work and a cavity, got broken. Okay. She needs to come out. She needed to come out. But the lengths that this was stretched out to were unimaginable, even by Beyond the Edge standards.
Yeah, like the lengths that the storyline was stretched was like, you know, Paulina's hips would be jealous. They are looking to be stretched like that, you know, like it was they made a whole ass meal of Ebony's like
near death experience. Yes.
Yes. It could be septic.
It could be.
Look, be fatal.
And I researched this, and yes, that is an outcome that can happen. Like she should have left, but yes. she clearly wanted to go. That I think that this was really played up for maximum dramatic effect that she did not want to go. Had the doctor called up while they were at the lanterns and say, all right, hold on. We've gotten word from the doctor. They mixed up your test results. Actually, it's just a toothache. You'll be fine. I think Ebony would be like, yeah, but you know what? I think I already mentally have prepared myself to be out of the game.
But also, you know, a toothache can also be fatal. So
yes,
we cannot risk it.
Listen to this statement from the lanterns.
My body's not giving me much choice. I can be here through the pain tomorrow. I just don't want to do what the doctor said would likely happen, which is give myself such a severe infection that it seeps to my bloodline. And then he said the word fatal. And I can't compromise God's plan for me to do this work.
Can't. Yeah, you can't compromise God's plan to do the work.
We need a Beyond the Edge wand off of Drake's God's plan.
Yes. So God's plan is what is going to come for Ebony after Beyond the Edge. That's the plan she doesn't want to compromise. Or because clearly God's plan was not Beyond that,
give her. I don't know. I don't understand what God's plan was here, but I know that it was God's plan because everyone seemed to agree. Mm-hmm. Was it God's plan for her to, I don't know, go on Beyond the Edge?
Jenny, the Lord works in mysterious ways. You can't question.
Very mysterious to me because,
yes. And so does the Edge Lords work in mysterious ways also.
Like, I don't know why it would be God's plan to have her have an infection in her mouth. But.
And really, it was like she didn't quit. Her body quit. It's a difference. It's a difference. She didn't ring the bell. Her tooth made her rang the bell against her will. She wanted to stay. Let the record show.
I'm still confused about her comment about it seeping into her bloodline.
Yes, into the bloodline.
I was like, oh, her family?
Yes, yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, that's how bad it could get, Jenny. You laugh.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you did the research, Rob.
Yes,
so. I trust you.
Okay. So Ebony has to leave again. And then there were six.
So here's the thing is, like, this is the best way to leave if you're, you know, kind of reaching the end of your journey. You're like, okay, I've pushed myself. It's, you know, it's great because you don't have to say that you quit. You're not a quitter. But this felt like it was handled differently than Lauren, where like Lauren, it was just like, the doctors said she had to go.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this is like the Survivor equivalent of that, like the medical team came in and said, yeah, you can stay. Like, I guess there is a worst case scenario where, you know, you could get an infection that could be fatal. But if you can, it's a pain tolerance issue. If you can handle it, you can stay. We are not taking you out of the game. Where I think that Lauren, they were taking her out of the game. Like, you see this on Survivor.
There was nothing she could do. Yeah.
Like, like Dana in Survivor Philippines. Like she was in like severe gastrointestinal distress. Doctors came out, looked at her, said, we don't see anything wrong. So like that's technically, as Jordan Kalish will tell you, that was a quit and not right. A medical evacuation.
And so, I mean, well, I talked about this last week that they still made Lauren ring the bell, but it was like the saddest bell ringing of ever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's strange because like in Survivor, Lauren would be a medevac for sure. And so she wouldn't be going through the same process of like being voted out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like weird that they have to like ring the bell, which is like, it's synonymous with quitting.
Right.
In this show. And
that was the tooth ringing the bell.
The tooth. Well, was Lauren's foot ringing the bell? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's strange that they still make. I think they just really wanted to get the money of the bell like out. Because they're like, I can't believe the only time that this bell is going to be used is Meta World Peace, which mm-hmm. like on the second episode, they're like, okay, like technically you're not quitting, but you still need to ring the bell.
Yeah. Okay.
Doctors should be ringing the bell.
Medical should ring the bell. They should have a different thing. Maybe like put the bell on its side of like, no bell tonight. Turn the bell upside down. But I'm looking at Ebony's Twitter. I don't see any update about her condition. I just want to say that I am presuming that the toothache was not a fatal tooth abscess.
Well, if she's been, she's.
She lived. She lived.
Yeah, she retweeted something 5 hours ago.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's
so. Considering this was October 9th.
We will rest easy tonight, knowing.
I think she's okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Ebony is gone. I guess let's talk about how we got there in this episode of Beyond the Edge. Okay. Mm-hmm. We talked about Ebony, Mrs. Lauren. Talked about it's Coach's birthday. But a lot of big storyline in this episode, Coach's birthday.
Yes, it was a really big deal. Mm-hmm. It's all we heard about. Like, I didn't realize that Coach was such a big birthday guy. I would never want to do something like this on my birthday. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing. It's like, okay, I think like a show like Survivor or Big Brother where it like spans, you know, over a month.
Yeah.
You could maybe just be like, okay, well, my birthday falls in there somewhere, but like, this is an experience of a lifetime. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But like, if this is only like 7 or 10 days and it falls right on your birthday, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't think I really want to do this. Mm-hmm. It's my birthday. It's my damn birthday.
Yeah. But think of all the money you could be raising for your causes.
I guess I'm a bad person.
All right, don't call.
Like, can I just do it another way?
Don't call Jenny out to the podcasting charity championship late September.
If it's anything like Beyond the Edge, listen, I come by.
Plan
this,
it
honestly,
another week.
I would not be. I wouldn't. Even if it wasn't my birthday, you would never catch me doing this.
Make sure your dental work is up to speed.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. It could be septic.
Okay.
My bloodline.
Your bloodline. Your whole bloodline could be impacted. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Paulina is really having some problems, Jenny. She is really stiffened up in a bad way, mm-hmm. and she is having some like real hardships out there. There is something that she can do, okay? Colton is going to work with her to start to get her to be a little bit looser.
My ankles.
I like to just do the alphabet with your feet.
Okay. Did you know about this technique to do the alphabet with your feet?
I mean, I've heard about the alphabet with your tongue. Yeah.
Is that to keep your tongue loose before podcasts?
Exactly. That's exactly what that's
Is that what
for.
You're supposed to do right before a podcast?
Yeah, and it works every time.
It worked.
I somehow.
How did Colton know about this technique?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But apparently, so he has Paulina and Jody doing the alphabet with their feet.
Yeah.
And apparently the eye feels really good.
Yes.
According to Jody.
Through your feet. Through your
feet. Yeah.
Okay.
The eye motion is a real hit.
The eye. Okay. Yeah. All right. So a lot of Colton in this episode. Yeah. A heavy culty Colton episode. Heavy. Yeah.
We got. I mean,
he's one of the six. One of the six that's left.
I mean, he's very clearly getting to the end of the show. He's going to be one of the.
I mean, he's the only person who has had like no negative impact.
He's having a great time.
Well, him and Craig. Yeah.
And him and Paulina are apparently like besties.
They've
like
become very close in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a storyline that we're going to be watching as this episode develops. Okay. All right.
Yes, very closely.
We hear a little bit about Colton's football career and how he couldn't even watch football after. Do you think he can watch The Bachelor? Do you think he's able to do that?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever watching The Bachelor again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think that's done. I kind of like didn't really understand. So he played college football and then did he get drafted? And he was
in the NFL and I'm not sure if he ever played in a game. I think he was at least in training camp with different teams.
Yeah. Cause there was like shots of him in like NFL jersey. So I was like, okay, you're on the team. But then apparently.
So he was signed as an undrafted free agent, and then he was waived before the season. And then in September of 2014, he went on the Eagles practice squad. And then he was released. Then he was on a couple of different practice squads, but I don't think he ever has even been in an NFL game.
Okay.
He's been in training camp. He's been on practice squads, but he has never been like, I don't think he's ever been active for an NFL game.
That's sad. Poor Colton. Are you on his Wikipedia page?
Yes. Yes.
Like, what is with this photo? It's like a blurry webcam photo. Like, this man was on reality television two different seasons. Like, he was on The Bachelorette and then became The Bachelor.
Yeah, but how could he pick?
You don't have a better photo of him.
How could he pick the right photo?
Like,
mm-hmm.
It's so bad.
Wikipedia, they've got his height and weight on his Wikipedia.
Is that because he's a former athlete? Right?
I mean, hope they don't have my height and weight on my Wikipedia. Oh my. Who's updating? Who's updating this? Yeah. Oh my god!
It's like Nicole is feeding like your info to Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No height and weight.
Okay.
Thank goodness. Okay. All right. Not even a picture. What are you going to do?
I guess
Colton has to upload his own. I guess I have to also.
Like, you could take a screenshot of one of your live podcasts and the quality would be better than this Colton Underwood photo.
Mm-hmm,
like,
for sure.
That's what this photo looks like. It's like someone took a screenshot of him during like an interview, like on webcam.
Yeah. Like on TikTok.
Yeah. It's bad.
Okay.
It's really bad.
All right. So, we hear Ebony, hear about her swell, like, and again, we talked about how she handled, the drama about leaving. No question. She's got something going on. You can see, her cheek is all swollen. Definitely. There's definitely an infection. You know, so something's going on here.
Yeah. Because she was like resting. And then she like wakes up and she's like groaning in pain. Like she's the face is very, very swollen. So it's like, no question.
I don't know if they gave her anything to try to, because the ways she describes it, yes, it's swollen, but she describes it as tingly. She describes it as numb. Like,
yeah, she said numbness.
All these things like, oh, it doesn't sound that bad.
I mean, if it was numb, then I would be like, great, I can't feel it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know if they, like, Novocaine
her.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. All right. So she needs to see an emergency medic. All right. So she will not be participating.
Emergency dentist. They have an emergency dentist on? Or do, like, they take her into,
the Panama City.
Yeah, Panama City, and there's like a.
I can't imagine. Dentist. I mean, I don't think that there's an emergency dentist on staff on Survivor.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I can't imagine Beyond the Edge has an emergency dentist on staff.
It's not in the budget. Yeah, so they probably, and I, again, we have no concept of like how far out of the jungle they have to drive to get to the emergency dentist. Unrelated, but where do you think Moro stays during all of this?
Oh, must be with the crew.
Like, is there like a Ponderosa-esque type situation, you think?
I don't think it's Ponderosa, but I think there's a base camp.
Okay.
Yeah, like they're not planning for people to come out of the game.
I love the walkie-talkie every single episode when Moro calls in on a walkie-talkie. I feel like they're just like, they don't need that, but they really love the idea of like Moro checking in with the walkie-talkie.
They
like
love
the
it.
Crappy audio.
They love it. Okay. Moro is going to call in and set up adventure number 6. Jenny Autumn's going to tell us about it when we come back right after this. All right, Jenny, let's start to figure out what's going on with adventure number 6. Moro's going to call in and he's going to, I was there like some sort of like a code name that they had to drop here?
Breaker, sea lion.
A lion cat.
Breaker,
lion cat.
Jungle cat, sea lion, you guys are all animals in terms of your competition, coach.
Who's Jungle Cat? Moro is Jungle Cat?
I have no clue.
And where did he get it from? Jungle Cat?
Break
he called
break
him
a sea lion.
Sea lion.
So, okay, this was my understanding, is lion cat means something, because, spoiler, it comes up again later in this episode. So
is lion cat a thing, Jenny?
No, I don't even think
Jungle
that's
Cat
correct.
Is a thing.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is like a name they gave themselves where they're like, we're the Jungle Cats or something like that. Mm-hmm. But so Coach is trying to be cute and do this breaker. And then he says sea lion instead, because I think he got mixed up. But maybe it was supposed to be lion cat, because then you hear Ray go, it's lion cat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they... So when you do breaker and you say the thing,
breaker.
You saying what you are, right?
I like, Jenny, I do not know. I do a lot of the talkie, not so much of the walkie. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I think that's him saying like, hey, this is the lion cat, like on the line here.
Okay. All right. Okay.
It's very confusing, but I'm telling you, I think this is like a name that they have for the jungle family.
The jungle family. Okay.
Because they are a family now, Rob.
All right. Let's bring everybody in. And Moro has a new greeting for people.
Moro, what it do?
What it do, Mr. Ray? What it do indeed?
Yeah.
What it do, Mr. Ray? Like, why is he calling him Mr. Ray?
I know, it's like Mr. Jeff.
He keeps us on our toes. Rob, I can't believe we're going to yada yada the team picks.
Oh, team picks. Okay.
Because was it not last week that I was trying to figure out how they decide who picks first?
Yeah.
And then we said it's Wild Wild West. You do whatever. Like, someone just... shotguns.
Yeah, and well, that's exactly what happened this time.
It's exactly what happened. So it was supposed to be, apparently there's rules and non-rules coming out that I had no idea about. Apparently Coach and Jody can't be captains again, because
they've already
been
captains twice. Yeah.
So then it's Craig and Ray are gonna be,
I don't know,
captains.
Everybody has to be captains twice again before they can be captains a third
before
time.
They can do a third. Yeah, okay. And so Craig and Ray are going to be captains, and then Craig just like snap picks Colton.
Yeah.
And Ray's just like, oh, so unimpressed. Yeah, no, like,
I wouldn't let you have the first pick then.
He's like, let's go rock, paper, scissors to pick first.
Because,
like, yeah, this is what I said. You should have been doing this all along.
Right. I mean, the picks of, I guess, like, if you could, like, are Colton and Paulina equal to Coach and Jody?
I mean, I, as
what would you rather have
episode,
on your team?
who would I rather have?
Yeah.
I mean, is it like, who do I want to hang out with, or who do I want?
No, who would you want on your team? If you had a choice of your, you know, the draft package of, you're either going to get Paulina and Colton or Coach and Jody.
I think I'm probably going Coach and Jody, actually.
See, I think I would probably go Colton and Paulina.
I mean, I think that, oh, here's the thing is, like, this is also, you know, looking at Craig and Ray as equals, which I don't know if they are. I don't know. I feel like Craig's been doing a little bit better.
He's been doing better, but Ray is like, you know, Hall of Fame, like NFL player. He's like, you know, for whatever reason, Craig has like done well in these challenges. But I mean, Ray should be no slouch. He's not good in the water.
Yeah.
He's afraid of the water. That's true. Yeah.
But like, Jody is like, Jody is a warrior, as Ray said. Mm-hmm. He said, I got the warrior. And I mean, you have two like older ish people in Paulina and Coach, but Coach is like a former athlete.
Yeah.
So, and Paulina's got sore hips.
But
so I don't know.
Coach.
Colton,
yeah.
I don't know.
Coach's, this was not his finest hour in this episode.
No.
Yeah,
no.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
it. But it was a great day.
Yeah, it was a great day, ultimately. Okay.
Anyway, right. I think it's wild that they don't even have a function for picking who gets to pick first. Like, yeah, you should be doing rock, paper, scissors. Yeah. Like, when you're down to six people.
Who cares?
Like, there's a clear first pick.
Yeah. All right, so we have our teams also. Let's also acknowledge the coach's birthday.
All right, before we get started, I want to wish Coach a happy birthday.
Yeah!
Hopefully, with a victory, you can have your cake and eat it too, Coach.
Hey.
They couldn't have had a cake for Coach, even at the massage.
There was no cake. That was a cake tease. Like,
cake tease.
I can't believe Moro would say that.
All right, Jenny, let's talk about adventure number six, okay? Because this is a long one. All right. Can you help us explain episode number six? This was for Mad Money. $50,000 on the line here for the winner of adventure number six.
Which, like, isn't that only like 5K more than last week?
Yeah, it goes up 5K.
Maybe less people that it's split.
Yes.
Between.
Yes.
So that's
more
money
and less people.
Yes. So adventure six with the final six here, although we didn't know they were the final six at this point because we had the whole Ebony storyline.
That's true.
But anyway, what we're doing here today, folks, is you are positioning your whole team within a rope ring. Like, it's a ring with a rope around it. I don't know how else to describe it. And you are inside of the ring and you have to spin together to unravel the rope.
That's right.
And then once the rope is unraveled, you hang it on a hook. That's the first part.
That's the first part.
That's the first stage.
The first stage and the final stage are great because Moro is there. He's not with them on the trek.
Yeah, I wish that he was there the entire time. Like, wouldn't that be so great if he was just, like, on an ATV behind them, like, narrating the whole challenge?
Yeah, because he's the star of the show. We get the gold in the first stage and the final stage. So the trek is, you know, the longest part, and there's no Moro.
Yeah, it's really where I suffer the most. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the bog for me. So, anyway, that's the first stage. You're unraveling the rope together, putting it on a hook.
Yes.
And then... you know what's next? Gotta trek.
It's the trek.
Trek time.
Yep.
And so we're trekking at no football field measurements this time. It's just 1 mile through the swamp and jungle to the cliff.
Yep.
The names are all very creative.
Mm-hmm, very creative. Yeah.
The trek to through the swamp, the jungle to the cliff. But I do feel like the cliff is like capitalized. You know what I mean? Like, it
cliff.
The cliff.
The and I think is probably like maybe capitalized also.
Yes. The and T and the C are capitalized, mm-hmm. and there could be even a trademark at the end. I think that's like, it's a thing. And so at this cliff or the cliff, two members of the team are going to like zip line. It says they climb up the backside. I don't know.
Yeah, did we see the climbing that I wonder? Yeah, I think they just got pulled up. Yeah.
Yeah. Because at first he said they were going to climb it, but then later on he was like, they'll zip line. I was like,
I feel like we would have gotten a storyline about Paulina scaling the wall. Like, so I think they pulled them up with like a pulley.
Yeah, I thought they were supposed to climb. I was like, oh shit, like this is rock climbing. Mm-hmm. No, they just zip lined over to the top of the cliff. And I guess there are two supply boxes at the top of the cliff. And then they have a mechanism to zip line the boxes down.
The boxes are going to go zip lining. Yeah.
The boxes then go zip lining.
Yeah.
To the bottom, to the third team member at the bottom of the cliff.
Right.
Now, once the boxes are down there, you got to get your team down there too. Mm-hmm. So the two teammates that are at the top of the cliff have to rappel down the cliff, which is apparently six stories.
Yes.
Down to the bottom.
Yes.
And once you get to the bottom, the two boxes get loaded onto a stretcher for some reason.
Yeah. Unclear why the boxes needed it to be carried on a stretcher.
I think it was like an emergency.
I think they brought the stretcher in case Ebony needed it. And it was like, well, like we bought it. We're not going to waste it.
We need to use the stretcher. But the boxes were supply boxes. So I think that maybe like the theme of the adventure was like they're like the medic team. And like they've got the stretcher because they're like the medic team. And then they've got like the boxes of supplies, maybe medical supplies. And they have to rush to save somebody. I don't know.
Interesting. Maybe if this was going to be back in a four-person like group where it was going to be the Grateful Eight, maybe somebody would have had to be on the stretcher.
And then they have this a person on the stretcher, and then what do they do with
somebody has to carry the two boxes, and two people are carrying the stretcher. Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
And then they fight over like who's heavier, like the two boxes.
Yeah. Paulina would be a good person to have for that.
Yeah, and then she'd get to rest her hips for a little bit. So missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what happens. So, yeah, I guess this is like an interesting like function about the show is that like at least with Survivor, when you're planning each like challenge, you have an idea of how many people are supposed to be there.
Right.
And with Beyond the Edge, you just never know when someone's going to ring the bell.
The world's greatest game.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. keeping you on your toes.
For sure.
So, anyway, we're still in the middle of
the
this challenge. It's not over. Don't worry.
No.
So, the boxes are on the stretcher, and you do enough. I think it's the same 1 mile trek that they just did,
mm-hmm.
but now they're going to the river, which, again, probably is capitalized. Sure. And at the river, there are more boxes. There's four more supply
boxes. So many
boxes. Yeah, so you have a total of six boxes, and you have to take those six boxes across the river and head to everyone's favorite, the final stage.
The final stage.
Yeah, so we get to reunite with Morrow, everyone's fave.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final stage.
There's a decision point also.
Well, do you want me to tell you what the decision point is, or do you want to...
You could say what the decision point is for whoever gets there. Yeah.
No big surprise, guys. The decision point is always go straight or go a little bit off of the straight path and you get a clue.
Yes. And untangle the clue from a bunch of brambles.
Yeah. Okay. So I wrote this down. What is bramble?
I think it's like thorny vines.
Honestly, this show has taught me so much.
Yeah.
Like the amount of things I've had to learn about, and you know, my attention has gotten better. It's just truly life changing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm like, oh, I've totally like kept my attention span, and I'm like, I don't even know what part of the challenge mm-hmm. we're at. Okay, so they're at the final stage, depending on how they got there through the decision point. And so the first thing you do is, I think somewhere in, well, I don't know where the stones came from. There's Bags of stones?
There were two bags of stones that I'm not sure if they carried them or what.
They don't open the supply boxes.
Yeah, they don't. You can't open the supply boxes. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, yeah, they got there when there were bags of stones.
They really yada yada'd the why.
We don't know how they got there. The stones.
Yeah, I don't know what the stones.
But you have to count them.
You have to. So and here's the thing is there's. So there's a bag of stones, there's light ones, and there's dark ones, and you have to count both sets,
mm-hmm.
and the numbers will give you what you need for the combination to the crate.
Yes. So
there's this big-ass crate, and then once you got the crate open, you have to fit the six
supply boxes. Plot twist, crate is empty.
Crate is empty.
Yes.
But it's not for long.
Not for long.
You gotta get those six supply boxes in there, baby.
Yeah.
And before you think, what? That sounds so easy. You just have to put boxes in another box. Come on.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Well, listen, we don't play around on Beyond the Edge, okay? This is real and it's hard. So the supply boxes have a very specific way that they fit into the crate if you want to shut the crate.
I think I could have done this no problem. I don't think I needed
think
the
so?
Clue.
No
I,
clue.
I moved, Jenny. I packed the pod.
Yeah.
I can pack like a bunch of suitcases in the car. No problem.
No empty space.
I load the dishwasher all the time. I get like,
that's
like,
an art.
Like my wife loads the dishwasher. I'm like, here, give me like 70 more things to put in here.
Well, if you overload the dishwasher,
I don't overload it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
And
just want your dishes to be as clean as possible for you.
And I feel like I'm the hero. I'm coming in and I'm like, hey, like we just did like basically I saved the day. I got 20 more dishes in the dishwasher. My wife does not like when
not recognized.
She actively gets angry. She doesn't like.
She doesn't like that you're getting more dishes washed.
She doesn't like that because I thought that she should be on the same page. It's like, look at all these more dishes we got. She's like, no. Oh, you think you have to like do everything better than me?
Oh, So she's got like that competitive spirit that Colton has.
It's not so much competitive because I feel like she's not trying to get the most things in the dishwasher. She's kind of like, you know, half-assing the loading the dishwasher, but doesn't like if I can improve upon what she's done.
I was about to say, like, I really hope Nicole doesn't listen to this podcast. And then I realized that of all the podcasts you do, this would be the absolute last thing she would ever attempt to listen to.
No, probably not. Probably not. But anyway,
so you would kill this challenge, Rob.
It would be no problem.
Okay.
And I also would say, and conversely, I would not recommend Nicole for this challenge.
She would not be on the puzzle team.
Right.
You would leave her for last. Like you'd pick Paulina before Nicole.
For sure.
Yeah.
Only for this one thing. Yeah.
Just for this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, the hips don't matter at this point. You just need to get things into the crate. So anyway, there's a very specific way that they fit in. So it's not as easy as it sounds.
Okay.
And then once you've got the boxes into the crate and you can shut it, the lid goes down. Then
it's not over.
Guess what's back, guys? It's the rope ring from the first stage.
Yep.
It's back. Okay. And you attach the rope ring to the crate and pull the crate, which is now apparently 500 pounds.
The crate is getting dragged like Paulina's haters on Twitter.
And also Paulina by Colton. There was a point where she's literally being dragged through like the swamp.
Yes, yes. We'll get there.
Anyway, lots of dragging going on. But you got to drag the crate to the finish post. And then like the first team to touch the post with the rope is the winner.
Yep.
Okay. So that's what you got to do for
Jenny
the mad
Autumn,
money.
You've done it again. You've done it again. All right, let's go. Let's see how the teams fare. Okay. Red team is going to be the team that is the Ray Lewis coach and Jody Sweetin. Blue team this week is Craig, Colton, and Paulina. And the teams begin having to untangle the rope and the giant hoop.
It is time to get busy.
busy and dizzy for the cause. You are watching the first ever ring around the ropesy.
We've gotten to the point where, like, especially because he speaks so slowly, like, I'm watching it happen and I know exactly where we're going, and I'm fine with it. I'm okay. Like, yeah, we are doing a game of ring.
They're
around
doing
the
it for the cause.
It's like, it's so predictable at this point, but it's still, it delights me. Like, it's a mix of, I absolutely, yes, of course that's what you said, but also I can't believe you just said that.
Yes. They're incredible. Getting busy and getting dizzy.
Busy for
ring,
the cause.
Ring around the ropesy is what they're doing.
Did you notice the weird shot of like the sloth
I did not. I did not.
There was like a random cut to like a close shot of a sloth.
Even
in a tree.
The animals can't look away.
Yeah, I think that's what they were trying to say is like, there is a captive audience for this challenge, and it is a single sloth in a tree.
Okay. All right. So the red team, they get the rope on the hook first. Blue team gets it pretty quickly after that. And then they have to run 1 mile to get to the cliff. Okay. And this is where Paulina, we told you that she's tight. We told you she is struggling with running. In her real life, she doesn't even know. Why do people run?
I'm not a runner. Why run when you have a Vespa or a horse?
Yeah, why would you run, Jenny, if you have a Vespa or a horse?
I didn't know that she said horse. For some reason, I don't know. I thought maybe she said Porsche.
A Porsche? Okay, let's see. Maybe
I'm not a runner. Why run when you have a Vespa or a horse?
I can hear the sound, but I think when it the first time around, I was like, she definitely said Vespa. I don't know what the second thing was.
Yes,
but like a Porsche would make just as much sense.
Yes,
like,
these were two random methods of transportation. This was like you're doing a Mad Lib with Paulina. We need a method of transportation. Vespa. I need another one. A horse.
Yeah, this is the Mad Libs of the adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need another one. A Segway.
Roller skates.
Yeah. Why would you run when you have a Segway or roller skates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Paulina can't run. So Colton,
I get it. I would not run either.
Sure. Colton says, all right, get on my back. I'm going to give you a piggyback ride. And he carries her. It's unclear for how much of the mile he carries her until they reach the muddy bog.
Yes. And then when they get to the
muddy
bog.
This is the best part of the whole episode. It doesn't work as a sound clip, but please describe what happens.
So she just kind of like falls in.
Well, I think he falls like, okay, they're in mud now. And he falls down. Okay.
But she kind of like lays down almost. Like, I think she thought it was really deep.
Yeah, she tries to swim the muddy bog, but it's only like it's
like a foot deep.
It's mud. It's
well, I think it's confusing because in the first episode they had the really deep.
It was wet.
Bog,
it was wet.
And they were like,
no, what are you doing? Get up. We tried it, yeah. And the two guys that like picked her up and like dragged her through.
Again, they're like, and she's not off the ground. She's just being pulled through mud.
Yeah.
But she could easily walk.
They're
through.
Like, you could walk.
I don't know if she thought she was swimming. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, again,
there,
she's not used to walking or running. She has a Vespa, she has a horse.
Yeah.
Two common methods of transportation.
Yes. Why? Why run when you can?
Yeah, you would take the Vespa to this point, and then you would switch to the horse to get through the mud. You wouldn't take
Vespa gets you through the jungle to
the flat terrain, and then the horse would get you through the muddy bog.
Which is when the horse tags in, of course.
Yes.
Everyone
yes.
knows that.
Okay,
come on.
Now
it's incredible.
The blue team is having their problems, and this is not to say that the red team is not without its own problems, and seems like where Coach had a hard time getting over the wall a couple of weeks ago. to me, Jenny, this was uncomfortable to watch. Coach, like, metaphorically hit the wall this week, I thought.
Yes. It was, and we saw a preview of this on the next time from last episode, but, like, it looked like he was, like, foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, he had, like, a bunch of spit or spittle phlegm. Or drool,
yeah.
Like, coming out of his mouth that was not wiped off the whole episode. It was rather gross.
It was pretty yucky.
We thought he was having a seizure.
It made me way more concerned because I was like, this does not look good. And Ray is even talking about it. He's like, I've never seen Coach like this. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He has liquid coming out of his mouth. Like, is he okay?
Yeah. This was concerning. Yes.
Yeah. And it was his birthday.
Worst birthday ever.
Yeah. Like, he would probably rather do dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially at your house. You can get a lot of them in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have to say to Nicole next time. Actually, it's more me that might be saying this to myself.
Is it courage that I need? Or is it wisdom?
Yes. Is this courage? Do I need the courage to tell Nicole I think I can load more things? Or is it the wisdom to just let's do another load of dishes? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. All right.
This is life's greatest question.
Great question. All right. So, we get to the boxes. Okay. So Colton and Paulina, they send the boxes down. They're going to do the rappelling. Paulina overcomes her fear.
Yeah. And they really made it look like this might have been like the downfall of Blue, where like they showed us Craig being concerned about Paulina doing the rappelling, and it ended up being fine. She was fine. And she's like, courage is not being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It's being afraid and doing it anyway. Like so many great life lessons here.
A lot of great life lessons. Okay. The rappelling, I mean, based off of my years on this earth, I seem to have no problem with the rappelling. Rappelling is very, very, it comes very naturally to me.
Your natural repeller.
Yeah, does not seem difficult. But Ray and Coach, they had to do it for the red team, and Ray was getting pretty nervous.
My heart, you know how fast my heart beats?
I understand. My heart outrun a cheetah right now.
Yeah. Is that a jungle cat?
I was like trying to like figure out how this works. So it's like his heart is beating so fast it could outrun a cheetah.
Yeah.
I also didn't really understand why they were, because then Jody said that they were like bickering. She's like
oh, that's
Ray
how they bond. Like,
that's how they
didn't seem like they were arguing.
No, it just seemed like they were just like,
yeah.
Are we going to do this? Are we doing this?
We're like, nervous. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It was a strange thing, but yeah. Do you think that his heart could outrun a sea lion?
Yeah, I think sea lions, so. Sea lions are very slow, I think. Unless they're in the water.
Honestly,
unless they're in the water and they have like the Paulina moves of like just being able to get through the mud very quickly and easily.
Yeah, I think if you get to the point where your heart is moving at a sea lion's pace, you probably need to bring in the medic.
Yeah.
You'd be concerned there.
Okay. So we get to where the blue team, they have a decent lead. Mm-hmm. They are at decision point, Jenny. Okay. We skip. They float the boxes down the river. Yada yada yada. Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing exciting there, right?
It was not.
Okay.
It was
decision
no
point.
One cared about that.
I believe for the first time in 6 weeks of Beyond the Edge, the team that is leading chose not to take the clue.
Yes, this is where confidence maybe wasn't the winning trait here, because Colton basically says, I don't need a clue. We are so ahead. They've basically given up, which I was like, excuse you.
Yeah.
We don't ever give up.
How dare you? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, this is the first time that the team in the lead just says, yeah, screw the clue.
It wasn't like they had Lauren, the puzzle-nator. I don't know why they were thinking that they were so confident that they didn't need the clue. Like, some of the clues have been kind of lame, but this is a time where you probably needed the clue.
And if you have a huge lead, then why not, like, all you're going to lose is a little bit of time and possibly gain an incredible advantage at the thing that could really slow you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like, wasn't this
Paulina's thing from the first episode, Jenny, like that Paulina was like, I said, get the clue. Nobody listened to me. That you always have to get the clue. Like, no clue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they didn't learn from this.
They didn't learn. I
don't know. Maybe Colton feels like now that Lauren is gone, that like he's the puzzle master, but I don't know.
He is not. He is not.
He's not.
Okay. He is the, you know, alphabet foot master, but he is not the puzzle master.
Alphabet foot master.
Yes.
Is three words strung together.
Yeah. That is the Vespa or horse of aerobic exercise. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. So, all right. Dump out the stones. Okay. Paulina seemed to have miscounted the stones.
Yeah, so she counted 81 and the lock was not opening.
Yes.
And so naturally this is Paulina's fault.
Yes. Right? As I'm like, oh, Paulina being a real dummy, can't count, but contraire.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turns out that they had to check the sack.
Yeah, Colton checks the sack and There was a stone left unturned?
Yes.
Or unemptied from the bag?
Yes, yes.
So they're not even
getting
counting the right
amount.
Getting
the sack was not something that Colton excelled at during his time as a defensive end in the NFL.
Yeah.
Was that a Morrowism for you?
Yeah, that's good.
Colton doesn't know too much about sacks from his time being a defensive end rushing the quarterback.
I really needed you to fully explain that.
So we should make our own Morrowisms help to describe the action.
It's the best part. Like, yeah. Phil says he's never heard me giggle more during a show. It's like it's a delightful time.
Yeah. Okay. So
it's all Morrow.
But so it's Paulina and it's Craig and Scott, and they're having no luck with getting the supply boxes into the big box.
I guess you wish you had that clue now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. Now all of a sudden, here comes the red team, and they don't have any problems counting the rocks.
Yeah. Well, and this is something I noticed too. I thought that the red rocks looked closer in color than the blue rocks.
Yes.
Because they were the same color. It's just like one was a lighter one and one was a darker. And I felt like there was like more contrast between the blue rocks and the red rocks. Again,
did not slow the red team down.
It didn't. They got it the first try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay. They got it the first try. And then they had the clue, which told them how to lay the first box down in the big crate. And then they did it. And then did the blue team copy them?
That's what I wondered, because there was like a few shots of them like looking over. And so I don't know if they were trying to like insinuate that they were like watching. I feel like they had to have, because like if you're falling behind. Like, you're going to be able to see how they put it. Because the crate was, like, clear, wasn't it?
It seemed like, I guess you could see through it.
I think it was, like, it was, like, I don't know, plexiglass or something. Mm-hmm. Because, like, seconds after they get it shut, Blue suddenly has it.
Yeah, and then it was a race coming down the stretch. Okay, the teams were pulling their ropes, and this was very exciting.
Oh, I've never seen Morrow more excited than the rope pulling of it all. Like, he was shouting. I thought he was going to lose his voice.
Yeah. Okay. He was so pumped up. And then ultimately, the red team, they are going to be the winner here of the match. And Morrow tells us,
Mamma mia! What an adventure!
Wow, well, it was one of the good ones.
It was one. Okay, everyone was rooting for red, right? Like, we're all rooting for red in this one.
It was Coach's birthday, yeah.
It was Coach's birthday. Him and Ray were kind of down on their luck. They haven't been sleeping much.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. It just seemed, they seemed like the underdog.
They were the underdog. One, right? Okay.
They didn't have Colton.
They didn't have Colton. It was Coach's birthday.
But it's Coach's Mike's birthday. Like, what better time to have a hairpin close victory, right?
No. I would have rather just sang the man happy birthday and taken the victory.
That was Colton. He would not have rather had a hairpin close victory.
No. He's competitive.
Yeah.
He's like, that I don't after. Want.
That was back at camp.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's fine.
But congratulations to Coach Mike that they are going to get a massage. So I feel like that we sort of like, what are we back around to the top of the rotation with the rewards here?
Yeah, we're back to spa day.
Yeah, we're going to put the ah in spa again.
We are putting the ah in spa.
Putting the ah in massage.
Okay, so... boy, and Paulina was so disappointed. She was so pissed because the massage is what she really needed.
Those hips.
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally the only thing that she's really been complaining about. And yeah, that was apparently the reward that she's been waiting for.
Yep. Okay. All right. So I played a clip for you of Paulina talking about how, like, well, if it was Coach Mike's birthday, what a day for Mike that we gave him a hairpin close match. But they're talking about how they're having a serious conversation between Paulina and Colton. And so... She asks Colton this.
Did you ever lose anything that was really important, though?
Yeah, my virginity.
Okay. A lot to unpack here.
So much, Rob. So much to unpack.
Did you ever lose something that was really important to you? Calls this my virginity. Now,
my virginity.
I don't know. Was this played for a joke on the show, or... Is Colton not joking?
I don't know, but Paulina laughed.
She laughed.
They both laughed.
I think she thought it was a joke, but I'm not sure it was a joke.
I can't believe you're gonna have me Googling Colton Underwood's virginity. No, well,
okay, so that was part of his story on The Bachelor that he was a virgin.
Oh, he was a virgin, yeah.
On The Bachelor, and he also claims to have then. This is from a story on Vox.com. I wish I would have had faith in my friends and my family a little bit more. He also tied his sexuality to his virginity. I was a full virgin before The Bachelor and could never give anybody a good answer of why I was a virgin. The truth is I was a virgin bachelor because I was gay. I didn't know how to handle it. I feel like he's like saying like this with like regret. I think he's being earnest and serious, and I think Paulina is laughing.
And Paulina thinks it's a joke. I'm guessing, does Paulina not know his story?
I don't know. It's unclear.
They're spending so much time together. Like, I feel like that is not something I would laugh at if I, like, in the circumstances where I'm like, oh, yeah, like, there's a story here.
Yeah, yeah.
I am seeing... I can't believe I just Googled Colton Underwood virginity. Like, this is, I can't believe I'm here. But there is a headline that says Colton Underwood lost his virginity while filming The Bachelor.
Yeah. Okay.
Ew. Here. It's. I can't believe this is where I am on a Thursday evening.
Yes. Oh my God.
Quads are going to just snap. They're so tight.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead.
Let me just play this one more time just to see the miscommunication here with Paulina and Colton.
Maybe.
Did you ever lose anything that was really important, though?
Yeah, my virginity.
Okay. I got to play the longer clip to get her response.
I think she laughed.
Okay.
I didn't know whether it was like an earnest moment either. Like, I was right there being like, what? Yeah,
give it the earnest music.
Yeah.
Did you ever lose anything that was really important, though?
Yeah, my virginity.
He has like a little bit of a smile when he said it, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know. But I swear she laughs.
Yeah. Okay. Let's check in on the massage. All right. Boy, the red team was loving it.
Oh, yeah. They were in bliss.
For sure.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, couldn't they have given them a snack?
It's the least they could do.
I don't know. A massage. A
cupcake for Coach?
Yeah. Like, Morrow said, have your cake and eat it too. And it turns out, no, you will not have your cake. You will not eat the cake.
There'll be no cake under any circumstances.
Like, again, like, toss the man a can of gravy. I'm sure you have one left.
Yeah. Open it up.
Okay. Put a candle in it.
Coach seemed to really enjoy the massage.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. They come back. Lots of questions about the massage. I thought that this was a little bit in poor taste from Craig.
I did not catch that the first time around. Oh my goodness.
Did they rub your butt? He wants to know.
Well, usually they rub your butt. You have to give consent. For the glutes.
I would think so. I would think so. And so,
do you think they had forms out there for the butt rubbing?
I mean, I'm sure it was all on the level and professional. You know, Craig. That's they don't need to disclose that to you.
Yeah, this is a personal question. Also, how do you feel about the massage taking place while they're all together? Like, sometimes when I go for a massage, like, I will get really chatty with my RMT, but sometimes I'm like, I'm not fully relaxing if I'm like full on having a conversation with you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you think that the massage would have been so much more relaxing and enjoyable if they had like private spots?
Maybe, but I guess it wouldn't have been as good TV. I was more concerned with that Coach Mike didn't take his glasses off. Like, he was like kind of like laying down a little bit, but they were just like, his glasses were just like
his askew. Neck was probably. Yeah, his neck was probably so sore because he would have had to like move his head out of the way.
You get a massage and your face is supposed to go on the table. I think you take your glasses off for that.
What do you need to see right now?
I don't know. Like, it's like, oh, he can't see without his glasses. What does he need to see?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Strange.
Let's go back to camp where Ebony has returned to the group. Ebony has rejoined them just in time for lanterns. An ominous sign.
Yeah, Ebony said, I got to get that $2,000 on my way out.
One last $2,000 is on the line. And so, I mean, but this sort of like, should she have just met them at lanterns? Because I felt like that we kind of got the report before the lanterns. The lanterns felt like a big waste of time once we already got the report from Ebony.
Yeah, once we hear from Ebony back at camp that it's a nasty infection and that, like, you know, like this is her body essentially making a decision. They, it's like,
it could be lethal. The doctor's advice was get out of the jungle ASAP. Although, ironically, her doctor was Meta World Peace. She did see Dr. World Peace.
Oh my gosh, that is,
get out of the jungle ASAP. It had nothing to do with her tooth.
No, he's just like, get out. You need to get out.
It's like, I heard that
there's jungle dogs,
jungle cats, sea lions,
dogs. Yeah,
get out.
Yeah, so it's taking all of the suspense of the lanterns away, which we all know is a very, very exciting and suspenseful part of the episode.
Yeah,
everyone is really wondering if the bell is going to be rung.
Yeah. Ebony tells the group, just keep praying for me.
I think that's like one of the top things they do there. So
that's one of the main things. All right. We go to the lanterns, Jenny, with 10 minutes left in the episode.
Well, they can show the same clip a couple times because they will cut to a commercial.
They will. Okay. They come in and, you know, we get all of the different greetings from Morrow, like, Ray, my man, Coach. But he has an unusual greeting for Jody. Did you catch this? This is how he referred to Jody.
This whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper.
When was the last time anyone, is Morrow like a grandfather?
I don't know. Also,
in like the 1800s.
Does he just have like the image of like 8-year-old Jodie Sweetin burned in her like, I guess Stephanie Tanner, I guess, might be a whippersnapper, but.
Yeah,
I
mean, he doesn't think that she's 39 years old. Yeah. How old is Morrow compared to.
Yeah, you usually don't refer to a 39-year-old woman as a whippersnapper.
No. I don't think he's like that much older. He's a 100-year-old
man.
He's
like 50.
Yeah, he's 52.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whippersnapper.
A whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. I've not heard anyone say that.
Yeah,
I actually don't like this now.
Yeah, what is a whippersnapper?
So it says a young and inexperienced person considered to be presumptuous or overconfident.
How rude.
How rude.
Yeah.
So it's not even a compliment. Like I would think that it's just like, oh, this young, spry, energetic person. But it's the inexperienced part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
the overconfident.
The term whippersnapper is derived from the terms snipper snapper and whip snapper. A whip snapper was a 17th century term for a young man that has nothing better to do than hang about idly snapping a whip.
What? Oh, no.
Loser.
I can't believe that this was used in the show. Like
this whippersnapper.
This whippersnapper.
Okay, these are the similar words listed. Pipsqueak, squirt.
How rude. Ugh.
Stripling,
mm-hmm.
Brat, minx.
Yeah.
Like, you imagine that Morrow's like, either. Paulina, you minx. Like, oh, okay. Boy.
All right. So everybody comes in. And so Coach has some Beyond the Edge memorabilia that he has brought in. Coach, what do you have in your hand today?
Well, it just looked like a gross piece of paper, but
like a shopping like, what is list, this? Right?
Yeah, it's a grocery list for sure.
Yeah,
this
is just my birthday list of all the things I wanted today that you didn't get. I have a cupcake.
There was supposed to be cake. You said there was gonna be cake.
Yeah, a bib.
No, so apparently it was the clue. I guess the clue that they got because they. Exactly. And everyone like signed it as if it was like a birthday card. So the whole squad signed it and left birthday messages. And now this is like a prized possession for
Is this on eBay
Coach.
Right now?
No.
Oh.
Coach would never give up a sentimental item.
Okay.
Like this. Well, maybe for charity, actually, you know?
Yes. Okay. All right. So they are talking about then how that's very precious. They talked about Coach's birthday and how he never spends a birthday away from his family.
Yeah. And I mean, again, this would not be the top of my choice for, you know, spending a birthday, but I think it'd be like fine to spend one away from your family. Like, I don't know if you've had like, probably like how long has he been with his wife? Like maybe like 40 years.
Yeah, probably a while. Yeah.
Or like close to that. It's yes. Like, oh, I could do with one.
All right, but
would you be like brokenhearted if you had like a birthday away from?
Yes. Very sad.
would you go on Survivor again? Like, and it ran on during your birthday. He'd be fine.
It would not. If I wanted to go on Survivor, it would not stop me in the slightest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like it would be harder for me if it was like one of my kids' birthdays, which happens to be around the same time as a year, but it would be right. Like, you know, it would be more sad, like to miss like one of their birthdays than to,
yeah. Like, you've got like the whole, you've got the whole family within like a month and a half or something like that, right? Birthday.
Like it's like every 3 weeks once you get to the fall.
You probably can't go on Survivor in the fall then because
luckily they film all of the Survivor in the spring.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, but Coach, after he talks about his, you know, how he's here and then this is where he wants to be, Morrow comes back with this.
About celebrating my birthday here with this group of people. It was just a great day.
Can I get an amen? Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
Is the Lanterns church?
I mean, it kind of is. It is pretty, it is a pretty holy experience. It's become a religious experience.
Can I get an amen? Amen.
And they give it to him.
Yeah, they gave him the amen. They gave it right to him. So here's my thing is like, until this episode, I didn't feel like we really got like any like religious commentary from Morrow whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I feel like he kind of just started to read the room.
Yeah.
And like, he's maybe like, oh, okay. Like this is what the squad is really feeling. This is like what they're bonding over.
Well, yeah.
I got to get in on this.
I do feel like that the crew, is like, is pretty religious. I feel like that just like off the top of my head, I feel like that, we've definitely heard, Ray, Coach, Colton, Craig, I think all the guys,
Ebony.
Ebony also,
God's plan.
I'm not sure as much about, Jody or Paulina, but definitely like all of the guys on the show that are left.
I feel like there's, well, again, it's hard to tell too, because like, you know, when there's like the prayer happening sometimes, you know, people are going to just participate. It doesn't mean that they're like deeply religious as well. So it's hard to say, but it's very much a theme of this particular cast. And so I think, you know, Morrow kind of started to see like, okay, it's like, oh, this feels like an appropriate time to ask if I can get an amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, he asked, amen was received. Okay. All right. They're talking a little bit about, Colton. And that, you know, how Colton was today. Craig described him as...
Someone lit firecrackers in Colton's pants, and they exploded, and he took off.
This wasn't the alphabet strategy, was it?
No. Oh, boy.
This doesn't refer to the time he lost the thing, right?
Yeah, I hope the firecrackers didn't take his virginity. What are they doing in his pants?
But Colton talks about how, he talks about his background and about how like his parents were athletes and that he basically got lost in competitiveness and competition.
I really didn't understand what he was talking about, Rob. It's like, and it also, it was like, Morrow was like trying to like have, he was doing like active listening, but like trying to be a part of the conversation. He was like, you hid behind it. Like he's trying to be a therapist here or something. Right. It was like, I don't follow what he's really saying here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that what he was, if I can, you know, try to decipher what he's saying, I think he's talking about how that he, was, you know, like, uncomfortable in his sexuality and he hid that from his family by throwing himself into competition.
Right. That makes sense. But I just feel like he didn't say it that way. Like it wasn't articulated in a way that like, mm-hmm. it was obvious that that was what he was saying. It was just like, he kind of danced around it a little bit. I don't know. It was confusing. He was just like, my parents were athletes. And so I just got really into being competitive.
Right. And I think also that, but also being here taught him that he doesn't need to win all the time also. And then that's like, that he used to have to win all the time and be so competitive because that he was hiding in his competitiveness. Now he can lose a hairpin match to the red team and it doesn't bother him like that.
I mean, it seemed like he was still a little bit bothered, right. But it's a work in progress. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I guess he's just saying that, you know, it being competitive just became his identity because he couldn't like actually show his true identity. I think that's what he was trying to say. Sure.
Okay. All right. Let's get back to Ebony. We all know Ebony's leaving, but
we've seen it since the beginning of this episode.
Ebony, how do you feel listening to all this? Yeah. Not good, Morrow. Not good.
My face hurts.
Yeah.
I missed out and I'm going home. So, yeah.
Yeah. What time is it for Ebony?
What time is it?
Sounds about like 2:30.
Oh, no.
Should I say that in the moral voice?
Yes.
For Ebony, it's looking like it's just about 2:30. I don't have a watch, but 2:30 it certainly is.
Let me consult the jungle clock. Oh my goodness.
Okay.
You could write for him. Like
I
this
would
is,
love to. I would love to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a dream job.
Be a dream job. Okay. So she feels as bad as she's ever felt in her memory, but she's here for her charity. She wants to make her mom proud. She's looking for, it seems like, permission from Coach.
Yes. Because this is the second time now that she's mentioned, she's like, Coach, I feel like I'm letting you down of all people. Because, like, I mean, we've heard from Coach a couple times. Like, he is a little bit like, don't you quit. Mm. Don't you quit on me.
Right.
And so she's basically just looking for, because a lot of what she's saying is like, it's not me quitting. Like, I could push through the pain. It's just that I cannot put myself at risk.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Damn doctors.
Yes. These.
Yeah. So she's like, I can't even look at Coach right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Coach lets her off the hook.
Is it courage that I need? Or is it wisdom?
Wisdom. Which is it? Wisdom, right?
Yeah, that's
wisdom
what he
tooth?
Said.
Was that what she
Oh my God.
Maybe the wisdom you need is a wisdom tooth.
You know, they say the wisdom tooth, like when you in times of like great stress, that's when they come out.
Yeah. They come out. So that maybe that's all that was happening.
Yeah. So maybe.
She was finding her wisdom.
Yes. Okay. So Ebony, are you done? They're going to make her say it. She says, I am done.
But let's get to a commercial first. We need to see this twice.
Yes. This is about something that can cost you your life, Ebony. So Ebony,
and your bloodline.
Yes, and your bloodline. Ebony has to leave, and Morrow lets us know.
We are reminded every day that this jungle don't play.
What it do? It don't play.
Why is he talking like this now?
Can I get an amen?
He really was like, amen. I've got some new material. I'm going to try it out tonight. What it do? This jungle don't play.
Jungle don't play.
Oh my gosh. Okay, but as Ebony is exiting, she says, I love you, lion cats.
Okay.
So I think that this is what they call each other, because it takes us back to the breaker, lion cat, sea lion. So this must have been like some sort of literal pet name that they. So. Yeah. So I love you, lion cats.
Didn't make the show. I don't know.
No, they didn't. They didn't explain it before. But
yeah. All right, Jenny, we are down to six.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like are there 3 weeks left of Beyond the Edge? I think it ends the week of, I'm sure, Sam Moore is probably on top of this. So, so this is the week of the 20th. There's 1, 2, and then 3. Yeah. I think 3 weeks left. Sam is saying that it ends, 5/18. So the week of the 27th, the week of the 4th, so there's 4 episodes left.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
With a 2-hour finale.
What are they going to do in 2 hours, Rob?
What it do in the finale?
What it do?
Yeah.
I can't wait till we can get an amen.
This finale, don't play.
Oh, and also another thing is he blessed them all. So, again, I think that he was like, okay, the religious, wording is really working here. And as they're walking away, he's like, keep fighting the good fight and bless you all.
Bless you all. Oh my God.
Does he have the rights to bless them? I don't know.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, wow, it's all happening. Jenny, should we check in with some of our social media segment where I asked Sam Moore to take a look for any Beyond the Edge social media that was going to be relevant or interesting.
How long did that take him?
Okay. So this is, let me see, what am I looking at here? Okay, so Paulina tweeted a picture. In the people I love, what they consider their flaws, what makes me melt with tenderness, it's what I find the most beautiful, okay? And somebody said, I am so in awe of the courage that you had to do Beyond the Edge.
Is it courage that I need? Or is it wisdom?
I'm rooting for you, girl. Okay. And then underneath, somebody said, I just wish Paulina would have more faith in herself. I'm her age. I look and act a lot younger and all. All she does is moan and groan and complain. Stop. 56 ain't bad. That's from a woman named Kim Dungan. And Paulina, do not get into, you know, a Twitter fight with Paulina. Okay.
Yeah. Says, Bloomberg and I learned quickly.
Hey, if you have hip arthritis, sleep in the rain on bamboo poles, get no food, and do Tough Mudder every single day, you're clearly a better example of a woman than I. Hysterical, crying, laughing emoji.
Wow. Shots fired.
Shots fired. Okay.
Tough Mudder.
She is one Tough Mudder. Okay. All right. Oh, and then... got this other one that says, okay, so she tweeted out about the episode, a woman named Ashley Borden, who's verified. I don't know who she is.
She looks like a personal trainer,
Trainer. Okay.
Yeah.
Says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how different was the experience based on what you thought it would be? Paulina says, a 10, Ashley. I didn't realize every challenge would be a 4-hour CrossFit every day and that we wouldn't be able to sleep. Okay.
Well.
And Sam also said that Paulina had a bunch of other tweets that he liked much more that he said we shouldn't talk about on the show.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ian swing over to see what that's about.
Okay.
I did get someone DM'd me an interaction that they came across on the Twitters, and yes. And someone was saying, yeah, I could anyone else think, yeah, I could totally win this when they watch Survivor. And then somebody else, Kentucky Ange, said, nope. Lol, and Beyond the Edge is even scarier. The cast is so inspiring. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure that, like, that's Paulina's burner account, this Kentucky Ange. the cast is so inspiring.
Somebody did tweet out the leaderboard. You want to hear where we are right now?
Let's do it.
Okay, Colton and Craig, I believe, are the new top two. Right now,
yeah, they're neck and neck, aren't they?
Yes, and that okay. Colton and Craig are number one and two. Paulina is actually number three.
Wait, what?
Is that correct?
Doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. That does not sound right.
John Smith, did you Photoshop the leaderboard?
Is this like a spoiler? I'm almost positive. I thought I wrote down the first couple of people. It's Colton and Jody at the top.
Top two. Mike is three. Yeah.
Then Mike is three, Craig, and then Ray.
Sorry. You know, I've gotten, this is like a deep fake leaderboard on Twitter.
Wow.
Shame on you, John Smith.
I can't believe.
At Kakor's Life 27. This is because Paulina was responding for it.
It's a Paulina stan. They're
yeah, okay.
They're rewriting history.
Yes, okay. Listen to this. But this person writes and says, thought you might enjoy this. This supermodel kicking the NFL Hall of Fame's butts in the jungle. A local bar has a dedicated room with wings and pitchers for fans of the show. There were 41 of us this week. Every week is bigger. Wow, this guy is claiming that there is a bar where 41 people are getting together to watch Beyond the Edge. Are you buying this?
Where is this? Are we going to go crash it? Our people.
Live finale. We're going to do a live show there.
We need to, you know, recruit more edgelords and ladies.
Yes. Okay. All of us get together in one place.
Yeah.
All right, Jenny, anything else you want to say about Beyond the Edge this week?
No. Someone on Twitter tagged us and asked how we felt about Morrow's glasses. I think they're just like the transition lenses, right? Have you looked at his glasses?
I really don't know a lot about glasses.
I'm pretty sure he just wears transition lenses, which so it's like they're glasses, and then when you're in the sun, they turn into sunglasses.
Oh,
but they always like are like a little bit like almost a sunglass, even when you're, I don't know. I personally wouldn't opt for them, but you know what? Morrow is like, he's an individual. He's wearing his kerchief. He had the kerchief back on today. Yeah. So
he's got it all going on.
Yeah. He's great. What would we do with anyone who is still not on the Morrow train? Like
we rang the bell.
We wouldn't even be podcasting about this show.
Forget it.
So be grateful for
yes.
him.
Yes. Okay. The grateful. Hey, do we have a new name for the six?
The sexy six.
Sexy six? The sovereign six? Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah maybe.
The solemn six.
Oh, yeah, they're solemn. Six?
Yeah.
Yeah, sacred. I mean, I feel like that tracks.
Okay. All right. Jenny, what's coming up for you?
What is coming up for me? You know what? I'm just getting excited for the upcoming live show and NYC.
That's going to really throw a wrench into our Beyond the Edge.
I know. I don't know what we're going to do that week.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're going to do a live show, right? That's what everyone's looking for.
Bars in New York City.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
We'll just do you think you're coming to New York City for the live, Survivor podcast, yeah. But no, we're here for
a live Survivor recap. Should we just air Beyond the Edge with the audience and then just do one podcast at the end recapping both shows?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That I think everyone's clamoring for that. If you have to extend the time that we are at the SVA theater, let's do it.
Let's get a quote on that. Let's find out how much it is. Okay.
Come on, Sam, get on it. But yeah, so just basically I'm getting excited to see everyone there. And I was on the BBKN10 recap this past Monday with Taryn and AJ. That was a lot of fun. Just edging my days away.
Yeah. Like one of the, top edge ladies around.
Yes.
And to everybody else, thank you so much. We still have to get to, we didn't forget about the celebrity exorcism.
I could never forget.
We never forgot about that. We did not forget about the worst cooks in America.
No.
Might have to just keep the podcast feed going after Beyond the Edge. We might need some things after the season.
Yes, a palate cleanser. And what better than a worst cook?
Yes. Okay, and of course,
cook us up something.
Yes, be sure to follow and subscribe to go to robinswebsite.com/BTE feed for our podcast feed. We'd love to read your ratings and reviews every single week and tell us what you are thinking about the show. If you have any other thoughts and feedback you want to get into the show, that is the best place to send it. Okay.
Send it.
All right. All right. Jenny, I will say we still have a unblemished record. I will say that we did get one 2-star review.
Oh, no. Yeah,
196 5-star reviews, 4 2-star reviews, and 1 2-star review.
4 2-star reviews?
Two 4-star reviews. I'm like at the drive-thru and I'm getting crushed.
I did see that someone accidentally did a 4-star review and then they fixed it. Okay. So,
well, we have
what happened here.
2-star review. I think it's hard to give it an accidental 2-star review.
Yeah, well, I just feel like two is like a weird.
It's a weird
star.
Number. Yeah,
it's like it's not the worst, but it's not
like,
great.
Like I didn't like it, but I'm not like a monster.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, thank you all so much for joining us once again to talk Beyond the Edge. We will be back next time to talk some more with you about episode 7 of Beyond the Edge. Keep fighting the good fight.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.